Denise Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey guys, Tyler Mayne here, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hi, I'm John Russo, screenwriter of Night of the Living Dead. Welcome to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not trying to find the origins of the Antichrist or trying to hunt down my mother's killer 20 years later, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And I'm back with two new reviews for two new films that released this weekend with The First Omen and The Monkey Man. But before we get started, please make sure to follow me on all social media pages, subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and subscribe to the YouTube channel by clicking the links in the description below. By doing that, you will help me continue to talk about all forms of badassery. So, was The First Omen a typical religious horror flop? Was The Monkey Man a sleeper hit? Let's find out. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. In 1971, Margaret arrives at the Visarelli Orphanage to take her vows, but soon discovers that wicked forces are present and will stop at nothing to achieve their dark goals. I had zero expectations for this movie, and I mean zero. I walked out initially kind of pissed for reasons that I will talk about, and afterwards, when I got past all that, very impressed. So at this point, I'm like a broken record, but again, religious horror films and possession films are all rinse and repeat cookie cutter films that normally bring nothing new to the table. And both of those films have two templates for that, and that is The Exorcist and The Omen. I just never get excited about these movies, so when one exceeds my expectations like Immaculate, I usually get pretty excited. And like I said initially, when I first walked out of this film, I was kind of pissed. And I had to really think about this movie before I actually come to y'all to give y'all this review. But beginning with the setting of this movie, where they took the counterculture movement of the 1970s and weaved it in to the story of making it kind of the catalyst for the motivations of this nefarious group of people. I thought that was brilliant and an excellent way to build lore for this universe. Just felt like it fit right in and did a great job of tying it to the first film. And that goes hand in hand with this just being a very, very well-made movie. This movie looks fantastic. It doesn't have this B-movie quality to it. It is a very well-polished film, and it is a very well-acted film. Neil Tiger Free, as the lead, she did phenomenal. She's got some moments in this that, at times, rival Sydney Sweeney's performance in Immaculate. Bill Nighy, creepy as ever. Every movie that guy's in, he plays a creepy-ass dude. And Ralph Ensign, who played the priest, he is the like perfect harbinger of doom. Like the guy who knows when the apocalypse is coming and how it's going to take place. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to listen to him or not. The score is great. Just this, it helps build the tension in this film so well, just like a good score should. Like if you got a good score, even if the movie isn't as effective as it needs to be in the scares department, that score can elevate even the most mediocre stuff in a movie and make it so creepy and scary. Which brings me to the next point of this movie being genuinely creepy and having this impeccable tension to it. Like, the entire time you're watching this movie, you feel this impending doom, like the devil is behind you, just waiting on you to turn around and look him dead in his eyes. They do such a great job of giving you that feeling. And normally, I don't feel that way when I watch these movies because, again, I'm just not a fan of these types of horror films. They never bring nothing new. But, man, I felt an impending doom just about the entire movie, especially after the first act. And finally, the biggest surprise, just like with Immaculate, the biggest surprise of this movie is the practical effects. Man, the practical effects are freaking amazing, and they are shocking. There is a scene, a birthing scene in this movie that everyone in the theater when I was watching this film was like, what in the fuck did I just watch? Is it as shocking or as much of a gut punch as that scene that I talk about in Immaculate? No. But it's definitely way more disgusting and way more stomach churning for me. Like, it is gnarly. Like, I was not expecting it at all, because I just don't expect that out of these types of horror films. And that shit caught me completely off guard. All of that was amazing and made this movie very enjoyable, and made it completely exceeded my expectations, obviously. But there is a big, huge, glaring problem with this movie for me. And some people are going to agree with me, and some people aren't going to agree with me. And that's fine. That's why we all have opinions. So the biggest problem that I have with this movie is the first act, because it is almost a carbon copy of the story that's in Immaculate. Now, I don't know if that was... I mean, literally at some point in the movie, I was sitting there saying, I literally just seen this in Immaculate. The base story of this movie is the same as Immaculate. And I was sitting there... A lot of times it was actually distracting for me, because it was just running through my head the entire movie was, did they get the script for Immaculate and copy it? I don't know which movie got filmed first. I don't know what, I know that Immaculate was released first, obviously, but I don't know which one was written first or shot first or whatever. But what I do know is those two stories, the scripts, especially in the first act, link up almost identically. And that was a humongous problem for me. And honestly, it kind of pissed me off, because that once again put a damper on this subgenre of horror for me, as in, well, there you go. They got to copy something to make this work. And that's not the only problem that it has as far as quote copying stuff. In the very beginning of in the first act of this movie, there are a lot of Conjuring-esque jump scares, and there is one in particular that is definitely taken straight out of the Conjuring. It's taken straight out of the Nun, or either it's taken straight out of the Conjuring 2, where they do the whole nun cloaked in darkness. All you see is the white of the crown piece of the out of the nun uniform, and then there is a scene with a hand that grabs someone on the shoulder or something another. They were just way too close to the Conjuring universe films for me with that. Now let's don't get it twisted. The Conjuring universe didn't create jump scares, but they definitely monopolize jump scares, because that's the one big fault with the Conjuring universe, is those movies rely way too much on jump scares. So it kind of made me feel, especially after thinking about it, it kind of made me feel like this was a completely different movie until someone was like, nah, we ain't gonna do that stupid shit. We're actually gonna do something good here. And it kind of is very obvious. Now, I could be wrong. That could be a huge reach, and none of that ever took place, and all that was by design from the get-go. But it definitely was a big problem for me. And also in the first act, it takes, and even in the third and the second act a little bit, it takes a lot of beats from the original. There is one kill in this movie at the beginning that isn't quite identical, but is very, very, very similar to an iconic kill in the original movie. And there's also the classic scene where someone is on the ledge with a rope around their neck and they're like, it's all for you, and they jump off and die. That's in the trailer. That's not a spoiler. Yeah, this movie took that from the original and it just felt really, really lazy. They spiced it up a little bit, but nevertheless, it felt very lazy. And that was like one of the biggest disappointments that I had with this film, to the point that when I first came out and gave my out of theater reaction, I didn't really care for this movie. I had to really sit down and think about it, because I feel like the rest of the film is great. It's just those little instances in the first act were so blatantly ripped off. Unless this movie was written before Immaculate, and Immaculate just so coincidentally have the same plot line, I don't know. But it kind of feels very obvious, and for that it did hurt the film for me. That and the other instances where they completely lifted scares or lifted events out of other movies. I don't like lazy writing, guys, and all that was lazy and unimaginative, and I have a huge problem with that. So it did affect the score, but it didn't put that much of a damper on it for me after I kind of mulled over it and went through all the scenarios in my head. So after quickly overcoming the issues of its first act, The First Omen shapes up to be one of the better horror prequels that have received in a while, through its amazing performances and great practical effects, the competent lore building and haunting score, and the unbelievably suffocating tension. This results in a very well-made film that, honestly, it had no business being as good as it was. So with all that being said, The First Omen gets a 4 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Go check it out. If you're a big horror buff like me, you are going to see those shocking similarities to other movies in that first act. Just hold on, because the movie gets a lot better and it's actually pretty damn good. So check it out in theaters now, and we're going to move on now to The Monkey Man. When an underground fighter is given the opportunity to work in the seedy underbelly of India, he soon realizes that he has an even greater opportunity: kill the ones responsible for taking everything from him. I went into this movie seeing a pretty damn good trailer and reading an article where Jordan Peele had essentially saved this movie by becoming a producer on it, and also hearing that this was the India version of John Wick. And I was a little disappointed, because it was very overhyped. But I did enjoy most of it, I will say that. And a lot of that has to do with the performance by Dev Patel as Kid, our main character. He gave a great performance as this guy who is just doing everything he can to survive, even fighting in this underground fight club, wearing a gorilla mask and essentially playing the character that just gets his ass kicked every night, and just doing odd jobs here and there just to make ends meet. He gives you this character to really sympathize with. And then you have Skeeter Kerr as the villain Rana. He's not the main villain, but he is the best villain in this movie, who definitely makes you hate him. He is a despicable son of a bitch, and I thought he gave this great performance. Both of those guys just did incredible work, and from what I also understand is Dev Patel also directed this movie too, and as a first-time director, and it kind of shows, but for the most part, he did a pretty good job. The fight scenes in the movie are very well choreographed. Like, you see a lot of John Wick-esque fights in here, even some Daredevil-esque fights, like Daredevil Season 1 fights in here. The problem is, there just isn't anything special going on here. Not to say that it's not enjoyable, it's just we've seen it. After John Wick, we've kind of seen everything get done. Like, you got movies like The Raid, who, to me, are even better as far as fight choreography goes than John Wick. And I believe the same guy that choreographed The Raid did a lot of the John Wick movies and Daredevil Season 1. So it's very well done. There's just nothing like, ooh, ah, about them. The other action scenes are very well done. There's like these car chase scenes in the movie that deal with like all these cars that you only see over in countries like India that are very intense and well done, and funny at times, honestly. Speaking of that, the humor in this movie, there's this very subtle humor in the movie that will definitely give you a chuckle. There's one scene in particular where the movie is beyond intense at this point, and you're very concerned about the lead character, and something happens and the entire audience laughed about it, because it was very well played. There's a couple of cool EDM remixes of classic songs in here, and I'm not really into EDM music, but when you have a beat going in these movies that have these awesome fights in them, I like to hear something good, and there's a couple of songs in here that are done, like, I think one is the Don't You Want Somebody to Love by Jefferson Airplane. That's one of them. And it was cool how they remixed it into that EDM version of that song. The cinematography is beautiful for most of the film, with these real vibrant colors that are very reminiscent of giallo movies. I really didn't expect that to be the case. Most of the time, these movies have pretty simple cinematography that have just really good shots, but never these real beautiful, vibrant colors and stuff. There is something that I am a little mixed on, and it's not necessarily a negative. The whole concept was lost on me. There are some things that are tied to culture and life in India that I didn't quite understand, because I'm not familiar with them. Not that it's a negative, it's just my ignorance of the subject made it kind of weird to see some of the things that were taking place in the movie cultural wise. But some of the negative aspects of this film was, oddly enough, during the fight scenes, there are some incredibly shaky camera work during those fight scenes that I found to be honestly nauseating at times. I appreciated the art form of it, of trying to give you that first person feel, but at times it was just too much. And my biggest glaring problem with the film is the middle act of this movie is incredibly boring. And I mean, like, I'm about to fall asleep boring. I don't know if it's the pacing of it, or it's because it's just one big exposition dump, or what. It just seems like that middle act took up most of the film too, and to me, that put a huge damper on this movie for me. It literally went from super exciting to, oh my God, I'm about to fall asleep, to the last 20 minutes, man, this shit's badass, you know? I don't know what happened and what went wrong there. It just did not work for me. There was like this slow training montage. There was this whole exposition dump about the character's background and the situation. It just didn't work for me. It could have been done better and faster. That's the best way I can describe it. But despite being weighed down by that middle act, Monkey Man does manage to provide this entertaining beat-em-up movie with great fight choreography, a despicable villain, and a very likable main character. So for all those reasons, Monkey Man gets a 3.5 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Check this one out in theaters too. It's worth the watch. And that does it for another episode. Make sure you click the links in the description and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and also follow the YouTube channel so you don't miss any of the content I'm bringing your way. Also, make sure you check out Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He is a synthwave master, and his music is being used throughout each episode, so check him out on Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube. Got two potential good ones coming up with Sting and Civil War. So probably going to bring those to you next. Make sure that you go and check out the Monster Manual episode on Goza the Gozerian. That's up now. And go check out some of my other podcast episodes that I uploaded to YouTube recently. And if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube yet, go ahead and do so. I feel like we're at a turning point for movies now in the year 2024. Because so far, it hasn't been very good. But the end of March and going into this month, it seems like the door's been kicked open for good movies. So let's see what happens. Still got some other projects coming y'all's way, so stay tuned for those as well. And thank you all so much for continuing to support me. Without y'all, none of this is possible. So remember, until next time, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.